Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. And today we are going to be discussing prophets, prophetic words. What does it look like to be used by God? What does it look like to be used by God to speak things to people? What does it look like when God uses someone else to speak something into your life? What does it look like to move by faith after you've received a prophetic word? What does it look like to be used by God to give a prophetic word? How do you discern what is from God and what isn't from God? This is the topic I feel God leading me to touch on today. And I just want to stop for a moment and pray that the Holy Spirit speaks through me to you, and that God's will is done through this podcast episode today, and that this blesses you, guides you, convicts you, reveals something to you in whatever way God has intended it to. Amen. Now, I want to start with being the very basic definition I could come up with for a prophet. What is a prophet? And that is a messenger of God. You know, God has a message to get out. He has something he wants to speak. And he uses someone else to be the mouthpiece here on earth. A prophet of God is someone speaking God's message. Now, I want to be very clear that that doesn't mean that the thing that the prophet speaks, the person that God is using to speak, is going to feel all warm and fuzzy every single time. I think modern day, we have like a misconception that every time someone speaks a word from God, it's going to be something that's about how you're going to be financially blessed, or your enemies are going to be conquered, or all these things. When we think of prophetic words, or just words from God, we think about things that are going to make us feel good and encouraged and hyped up and warm and fuzzy. And that's just not true. We see many times in the Bible where God is using prophets to rebuke, to warn, to speak about God's wrath when the warnings are not heeded, when the warnings are not listened to. But we also see how God will use prophets, amen, to speak about blessing, to speak about hope. We see that with Hannah and Peninnah, right? Hannah's emotionally going through it. She spent years of being infertile. She spent years of feeling like crap by her husband's second wife because she's not able to have kids. And she runs into the temple and she lays it all out before the Lord. And Eli is in the temple and he hears. And at first he thinks she's drunk. And he calls her out and he's like, girl, why are you in here all drunk? How much longer are you going to be drunk for? And when she speaks to him, no, like, I'm just so heavily emotional. And this is right after she makes a commitment to God of saying, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Like, his life will be dedicated to you. He'll never cut his hair. And Eli looks at her and says, may God grant your request. And in that moment, God was speaking through him and confirming to her that he had heard her, and that in his timing, her prayer would be answered. And we see that later on, God did do it. God did bless her with a son, and she did keep her word and dedicate that son to the Lord. And we also see how she moved by faith, right? When she left that temple because she believed that God was going to do it, she had a peace. And she moved by faith, meaning she wasn't expecting God to do all the heavy lifting. She wasn't sitting at home for months expecting just like a miraculous birth. She wasn't expecting like a Mary moment. She did her part of having intimate time with her husband and trusting that in God's timing, he was going to bless that. We see with Moses, where God speaks to Moses. We have the burning bush situation. And God speaks about the deliverance of the Israelites and calls Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh, to rebuke Pharaoh, to warn Pharaoh. And we see how God moves off of that and delivers the people. And we also see how Moses is later on used to rebuke the Israelites when they start acting a fool, when they start acting a bit messy. Look at Noah, who received a word directly from the Lord about a flood that was going to come way later on. And Noah had faith in what he heard from God. He believed that God's word was true. And that didn't feel warm and fuzzy. Hearing that God was going to flood the earth and that he had to build a giant boat, he had to build a giant ark, I'm sure that didn't make him feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But he believed it. And he had a desire to obey God. And he feared the Lord. So he listened to the moves of faith God was calling him to make, which was building the ark. And his life and his family's was saved in the process. God is known to speak through people and to speak to people. We were given the Holy Spirit when Jesus Christ died, resurrected, and when he came back and left, he left us the helpmate. He left us the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit dwelling within each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit's job, y'all, is actually to guide us, to convict us, to raise that little red flag inside of us of when something isn't right and we're not supposed to do that thing. The Holy Spirit is actually what reveals things in the Spirit to us, things that we can't see. When a situation looks fine on the surface level, but the Holy Spirit is revealing to us, no, there's something off with this, there's something not right, and you listen to the Holy Spirit and later on you see that that prompting, that guidance was correct. The Holy Spirit reveals, the Holy Spirit convicts, the Holy Spirit helps us discern. God speaks to us today through the Holy Spirit. It's not absurd or unheard of for people to hear from God today. That's why we were given the Holy Spirit. That's why we were made a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And God is still speaking through people today. God speaks to us when we read scripture. God speaks to us in our prayer time with him. God speaks through dreams. God still speaks. And God will speak through other people to you, especially when you're having a hard time listening to the Holy Spirit, or you're outright rejecting the Holy Spirit, speaking from experience. And also seeing a lot of other people experience it. So we're going to step into an example of that in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet who was sent to warn a group of people who were really racking up God's wrath. God was giving them a lot of chances, a lot of opportunities to turn from their sin, a lot of opportunities to flee. But these people were unrepentant. And these people had hardened hearts. And Jeremiah wasn't the first. Fun fact, before God sent Jeremiah, God had sent other people to convict and to reveal. Jeremiah wasn't the first. God had other people. And he would send these people to them. And what they would do is they would rebuke. They would correct. They would say, hey, you're doing this, and this goes against God's word. This is angering God. This is going against God. But these people were also listening to false prophets who said things that were sweet to their ears. So they were also entertaining voices that said, God can't be mad at you. God's grace is, endless. God's actually angry at everybody else. You're not the problem. What you're doing is defensible. What you're doing is fine. And they chose to listen to those voices. And they would actually take out the people that God was sending. Kick them to the curb, take them down, whatever. They were offended. And in their anger, in their fear, in their intense emotions, they would strike them down. And in that moment, they were rejecting God's conviction. They were rejecting God. When you reject a prophet from God, you're rejecting God. So by the time Jeremiah was sent, there was already a track record. There was already a history of hardened hearts and rejecting. But God still sent Jeremiah to them. And they also chose not to listen to Jeremiah. So we see at first Jeremiah is used to rebuke, right? He's used to go in and say, hey, this is a sin. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this, and all of these things are displeasing to God. You need to stop. He's pointing out to him, you have a pattern. And this needs to stop. You're unrepentant. But they chose not to listen to that. They chose to listen to, and we see a lot of people modern day say this all the time, saying, only God can judge me. God loves me. God this, God that. You know what? God is going to judge you. And it's being covered in the blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to protect you on that day. And those who believe in him will do the works that he does. His sheep know his voice. God does love you, but he does not love the sin. God did create you, but he expects you to deny your flesh, to take up your cross. Jesus doesn't call you to clean yourself up before you come to him, but once you come to him, you're supposed to allow him to clean you up and to clean up your life. You should be different after coming to Jesus. You should be changed. You should be developing fruits of the Spirit. These things should be happening. And see, Jeremiah was calling that out. Jeremiah was calling that out where y'all clearly don't fear the Lord. If you did, you wouldn't be doing these things. And because they didn't listen to that, God started using him to prophesy about the wrath that was coming. At first, he was a warning. And then he was prophesying the wrath. And he started telling them about how y'all are going to be, your enemies are going to overtake you, and you're going to be dispersed from your land. You're going to have this loss. You're going to have this hardship. They still didn't want to listen. And then when that was going down, he started telling them, now y'all are going to have to serve your enemies for years. Like, this isn't an easy, immediate deliverance. Now y'all are going to have to serve your enemies for years, and you're going to have to be in that position. So Jeremiah was also being used to prophesy about God's wrath and the consequences they were going to face for their hardened hearts and their refusal to repent. But we also see that there wasn't an absolute condemnation in this, right? Because there was still a bit of hope. Because we see up near the end where Jeremiah is starting to prophesy that there will be a time when these people will come to repentance and see that they need God, and submit to God, and fear God. And when that happens, God will flip the situation. He will bring them back to the land that they were dispersed from. They will be able to conquer over their enemies that they were made to serve. We see how God declares a restoration in lieu of their repentance. Repentance was key here, that wasn't going to happen until they truly feared God and submitted to God. Remember, y'all, that God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your intentions, which means he knows when you're faking it. He knows when your faith isn't legit. He knows when you're trying to fake the fruits. He knows when you're just doing something for, like, an end goal of something that isn't Christ-like. He knows. But I want to be so clear with this, y'all, of God will use prophets to declare blessing, to bring about confirmation, but he also uses prophets. He speaks through people to bring about conviction and rebukes. And when those are unheard, to reveal what the consequences look like. And he also uses them to speak about hope and restoration. You know, I can't tell y'all how many conversations I've had with people when people are being corrected by their brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's an offense, and they're like, you can't tell me anything. You're not perfect. Like, who are you to say something to me? You know, make sure that you take that log out of your own eye before you point out my splinter, which that is scriptural. You know, before you sit there and consistently pick at a brother and sister, make sure you're not living in that same sin. Make sure that you're not also being lukewarm. Make sure that you're not also living that same type of lifestyle. Because, yeah, how are you about to go and convict and correct when you are also living that kind of lifestyle? And I'll let you in on something, y'all, that being used by God usually comes along with walking in obedience and submitting to him. Because in order to be used by God, in order like to be used as a mouthpiece by God, you have to fear God more than you fear man. You have to fear God more than you desire to please other people. Because the things that God is going to call you to speak, the things that God is going to call you to rebuke, the things that God is going to call you to say, isn't going to make everybody happy. It's actually going to make some people angry. It's actually going to make some people uncomfortable. It's going to make some people feel called out. And if you have a fear for how people are going to respond or react, if you have more of a desire to be liked and to be well received more than you fear God, you'll find yourself stopping. You'll find yourself watering down God's messages. You'll find yourself saying no to God. Because what if these people get mad? What if these people take this from me? What if I lose this? What if I lose that? God has already planned for it. If you lose that thing, if whatever this happens, whatever you're worried about happens as a result of you obeying God, trust that if you need it, he'll replace it and it'll be a lot better. God has already planned for whatever you'll lose or gain according to your obedience. But someone needs to hear this today, is being used by God to declare something, to rebuke, to warn. Being used by God as a mouthpiece doesn't mean you're going to be well-liked or well-received. Some of the things you say may be liked or well-received, but there's going to be a lot of things that also will not be. Because you're kind of like a walking correction. And not many people like that. Not many people feel good when they're confronted with the truth. Demons squirm. They get angry at the truth. And you know, there are lots of people I hear say, well, if God has a problem with it, then he'll just have to say something to me directly. And I want to ask you this question. What if he is, and you are not listening? We see how he speaks to people. We see in the Bible how God will use prophets. God will use other people. He will use those conversations. Have you found that multiple people keep kind of pointing out this sin or correcting you? Is that God trying to get through to you? Fellow Christians, people who know scripture, people who live by the word telling you, hey, you can't keep doing that. Hey, this is a sin. Hey, this goes against God's word. Hey, maybe you keep running into this problem because you're willfully living in this. Is that God speaking to you? Do you have the conviction? Do you have that knowing, that feeling of like, this isn't right, and you do it anyway? You know, at first, the conviction is really loud. But when you get used to ignoring the conviction long enough or defending your sin long enough, that voice starts to get a lot more quiet. And before you know it, you're comfortable in sin. Is God speaking through other people to you because you refuse to listen to the conviction? Because you defend it away. because you're not accepting the guidance from the Holy Spirit? Are you even opening yourself up to hear from God? Are you asking and truly receiving and truly being open to hearing God to say no? And I say this from a loving place. A lot of people have a humility issue. I did for the longest time, and I'm not perfect in this. But there was a long time running when I was living in willful sin, and I refused to listen to the correction from the Lord because I was not in a humble enough space. I felt like I could defend what I was doing. I felt like my sin was helpful and justifiable. And because I felt like it was justifiable, because I felt like I wasn't a bad person, I ignored the conviction. I ignored the people God was sending. I ignored, like literally, I was ignoring the people God was sending. And then next thing you know, I was seeing different, the same scripture was hunting me down on social media, or I kept running into the same messages, or I felt like I kept running into the same life lesson. And I didn't realize that God was even trying to speak to me in those ways, and I was still ignoring it. That was a hardened heart. And eventually he had to get through to me through pain and suffering. So I wanted to clarify to y'all that a prophet and prophetic words don't always sound good or feel good. Truth doesn't always sound good and feel good. So if you're someone who's being used as a mouthpiece by the Lord, I want to say this to you, that you have to fear God more than you fear man. You have to have a desire to please God more than you do to please others. You have to be prepared to deny yourself and take up your cross, because obeying God is sometimes going to put you in some pretty uncomfortable situations. And you also have to trust in his ability to provide for you. Because if you fear, oh no, if I do this, I might lose this, I might lose that, that'll stop you right then and there. You can't fear that. But I also want to tell you that there's a reason why we are called to correct people gently. You can speak with an authority and also not be hateful and angry. A kind word turns away wrath. You can speak with an authority. You can speak in truth and not be hateful. How many times when Jesus was being called a false this, a blasphemer, he was being slandered, all of these things, and he wasn't calling names back. He wasn't like threatening back. He wasn't going out of his way to like gaslight and do all these crazy things. He was speaking with truth, with an authority. He wasn't backing down on the truth, but he still spoke with love. And this is kind of leading into my next point. I know someone needs to hear this. You will not have to force a prophetic word from God into happening. If God has spoken it, you do not have to force it. I will say this, though. A prophetic word from the Lord is an invitation into prayer and moving by faith. When God gives you a word, that is an invitation to start praying to him, to guide you, to guide your steps, to protect the promise. It's an invitation to prayer. And also is an invitation to move by faith. Like, for example, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was given that prophetic word from Eli. And what did she do when she went home? She had intimate time with her husband and moved by faith. Noah, he believed God's word when God said that he was gonna flood the earth. So what'd Noah do? He built the ark like God told him to. Moses believed that God was going to deliver the Israelites, so he had the courage to go to Pharaoh. Joseph received word from God not to go back, that, you know, the king was about to start killing babies right after baby Jesus was born. So by faith, he moved away. The wise men who had just left the king to go in search of Jesus had made a promise to, yeah, we'll come back to you, king, and tell you about the baby and everything. believing that the king wanted to worship Jesus. But when they received word from the Lord, don't trust that king, he's a liar. Do not go back. They moved by faith, knowing that maybe the king could have taken them out, the king could have gotten angry, all these other things could have happened. They trusted in God's guidance not to go back. Receiving a word from the Lord doesn't mean you do absolutely nothing and sit on your hands. God expects us to move by faith. But that is where prayer comes in, is praying to God of, God, what steps do you want me to take? It's not about what steps we think we should take, what steps we want to take. I know I made this mistake a lot when I first started recognizing I was receiving prophetic words from the Lord. I took that as an invitation for me to like force it, or that God was giving me this word and he was expecting me to just like strong arm it and like force my way through it. So like when I would feel he was giving me a word, I'd be like, okay, what are the active steps I can take to get toward to this position? What are the active steps I could take to achieve this thing? And start taking them. And I would see pretty quick it honestly kind of like backfire on me or like not seeing any fruit. And those were learning lessons for me of that was me executing my own will. A prophetic word from the Lord isn't something that we're meant to be able to do or create on our own. It's something that we can do with God by listening to his prompting and his guiding. So if God gives you, for example, a promise of marriage, that's not him saying, okay, now I want you to go out and date every single person you can find and try to get married as quickly as possible and all these things. And God reveals that to you. That is now your invitation to start praying to God of, God, how can I prepare for this? What do you need to do in me? What steps do I need to take? Like, do you want me to be open to dating? Do you want me? And if God wants you to go out on a date or to do something, in his timing, he will guide you. He will reveal that to you. But I'll tell you that the best way to see God's words come to pass is seeking first God and his kingdom. When you focus in on your relationship with Christ, when you focus in on just spending time with the Lord and being in his presence, you're going to be listening to his guidance and his nudges more. You're going to see a lot more work towards the promise, towards the prophetic word. You're going to see a lot more progress when you are just focusing on submitting to God and your relationship with him instead of trying to pursue that promise or that prophetic word. I can speak from true experience that I never saw the fulfillment of those words when I was purposely trying to achieve it. Meaning like when I was going out of my way to take all these steps and I was constantly fixing and focusing on it. Actually, when I look back, the fulfillment and seeing the fruit of these prophetic words was a lot of little steps that added up together. And when God was calling me to take these little steps, these moves of faith, I wasn't even thinking of how it was going to contribute to that promise. Honestly, most of the time when I was taking those steps, I didn't know why God was calling me to take those steps or do those things. I just knew he was telling me to do it. And it wasn't until I really saw the fulfillment where I would look back and see, oh, this is how all these things work together for my good. I want to give you an example of someone who tried to force the promise, someone who tried to force the prophecy, Abraham. He wanted a son. He received the promise that he was going to be the father of nations. He already had a wife. And it was decades. And he had yet to see that promise be fulfilled. And when him and his wife were talking, they started to think, well, you know, God only said Abraham was going to be the father of nations. He never said he had to have those kids with Sarah. So why don't we just hook him up with the handmaid Hagar? We're not technically going, you know, because it's still Abraham being the father. I want to be so clear with y'all. One way that you'll know a word isn't from the Lord, even if it sounds good to your ears, even if it sounds like everything you want, a word from the Lord is not going to go against Scripture. Is not going to go against Scripture. There are a lot of people who are unfortunately believing false words, believing false prophets, when if you held that prophetic word up to Scripture, it goes against God's word. It goes against what we see in the Bible. God will not go against his word. And what's one thing God doesn't approve of? Adultery. And what did Adam end up doing? Committing adultery. He ended up having intimacy with a woman that was not his wife and expecting God to bless that. And we can see that, sure, he had a child, but that wasn't the child that God was speaking of. He actually picked up a lot more unnecessary suffering in that period, because now he had to deal with Hagar and Sarah had the worst drama, and now he was having to deal with all their drama and all their problems. We see Hagar, she is unfortunately like being damaged in this situation. She's being abused and mistreated by Sarah, and she runs away with the child. And then there are arguments over the inheritance. Like, it's because Abraham, he received a word from God and he got tired of waiting. He started looking for loopholes. And because he did that, he picked up things that were not intended for the promise, for the prophetic word. And he endured unnecessary suffering, unnecessary problems. And we do see that when he repented and got back on track, God did bless him. But someone needs to hear that today. A word from the Lord is not going to contradict Scripture. God isn't going to tell you to slander, to lie, to deceive, to manipulate. He's not going to tell you to fornicate, to be an adulterer, to covet, to give in to greed and envy. He's not going to tell you to do witchcraft. He's not going to tell you to take revenge into your own hands. If you're receiving a prophetic word and it's telling you to do these different things, it's not from God. And here's the next step to how to know if something is from God, is take it to God. You receive a word, pray about it. Take it to God. Say, God, is this from you? Please confirm to me if this is from you. And be open to hearing and receiving. And be open to hearing from God, no, this isn't from me. Take it to God. Hold it up to Scripture. And y'all know, I'm sure you've heard the Scripture quote multiple times. I believe it's Isaiah, where it says, like, God's word will not return void. Sometimes when someone receives a word and they don't see it happen, like, that day or that month, or even that year, they believe it was false, it was a lie. Sometimes God's word takes years, a long time. We see that with Abraham and his decades. Look at Joseph. When Joseph was young, God gave him a vision of his brothers bowing down to him and that he was going to be in a position of power. But then soon after that, Joseph was in jail and sold to slavery and all these things. It was decades before he was in that prominent place. And the vision from the Lord was fulfilled. It is true that God's word will not return void. But some people are very quick to close the door. There are some things that God will show you years before, way before, to get you rooted in that promise, to get you to start moving by faith. God isn't a God to lie. And he is never going to ask you to do things that go against his word. Y'all, when I was in New Age, I listened to a lot of false prophecies and a lot of false words. There were people who were claiming that they were Christian, and they were saying things that I was totally believing, but it was crazy. Once I started reading my Bible every day, and once I started having a Christian worldview, and I started having my theology was sound, I started realizing a lot of things these people are saying go against God's word or go against God's character. Like, I remember, and this one was crazy, that there was this prophetic word that this guy kept speaking over, prophetic in quotation marks, that claimed to be a follower of Christ, that was speaking multiple times over again years ago that I was listening to. And he kept saying a thing of, you know, God gave them a lot of chances and they refused to repent. So God's taking all their spiritual gifts and giving them to these people. And I, things like that, because I wasn't theologically sound, I believed those things. It was later on when I was reading the Bible where I was like, the gifts can't be taken. Like, these are gifts. These are spiritual gifts that you are born with. God doesn't take spiritual gifts from somebody and throw them on to someone else as a punishment. Will God stop speaking to people in seasons? Like, if someone's a prophet and they're displeasing to God, God will stop giving them prophecy. God will stop blessing things. Like, 100%. But when I started really having a sound theology, I started seeing, wow, if I really compared these things to Scripture, I would start seeing that this doesn't align with God's character. This doesn't align with God's word. Interesting enough, it ended up coming out that person ended up marrying a witch and came out that they actually did a lot of witchcraft and things like that. In God's timing, the false words from that person were even exposed to the public. Trust in God's ability to move things around. Trust in God's ability to expose. Trust in God's ability to shuffle things around. This leads me into speaking about David. Because look at David. David was anointed to be king when he was still a young shepherd boy. Just because God has anointed you with something doesn't mean it's your time to step into that thing. And I know some people may hate to hear that. Because when God anoints you and reveals something to you, it's like you want to jump in right then and there. But David had to go through a lot of seasons before he became king. And we see that he had to deal with Saul a lot, a lot. And at first, you know, at first, when David was brand new on the scene, taking out Goliath, Saul wasn't too much of a hater, right? But it was once Saul started to recognize it, it was very clear to Saul that he had lost the favor of the Lord. And disobeying God, partial disobedience is still disobedience. And he partially obeyed God. He desired to people please more than he desired to obey God. And it was clear that God's favor, God's anointing, had left him. And when he started seeing David securing these victories and winning, and it was clear that God's hand was over David's life, Saul started getting really skeptical, thinking, I think this is my replacement. I think this is the one to take me out. And we see that David didn't have to do anything to expose Saul. Saul exposed his own intentions. When David was just there kindly playing the harp to bring peace, he was actually because of those spirits that were tormenting Saul. You know, when David would play that instrument, Saul would have peace. Even though David knew that Saul didn't care for him very much, David was still being kind to him. That's another thing, y'all. Our generation says, well, if you know someone doesn't like you, or you know someone's a bad person, like is making bad decisions, you know that someone's doing this. If you're kind to them, you're fake. David was obeying God. We are still supposed to love our enemies, to show kindness. Now, you should be having boundaries. But even though Saul hated David, and David knew Saul had a problem with him, David was still playing that harp. He was still obeying the Lord. He was still bringing a bit of peace, in a sense, to Saul's life, because when he would play that instrument, the spirits would leave him. And even though David wasn't doing anything to Saul, trying to take him out or hurt him or harm him, Saul was paranoid. And in Saul's paranoia, and in Saul's own fear, his own color started coming out, where he was trying to shoot he was shooting arrows and stuff at David, trying to take David out while David was just being kind. David was just doing his thing, obeying God, and Saul was trying to take him out. It was clear who was the antagonizer here, and David didn't have to expose who the antagonizer was. We see David didn't go and try to gaslight Saul and dance around and try to get Saul to hit him, try to get Saul to attack him. Saul did it on his own. Out of fear, out of envy, out of paranoia. I imagine that evil spirit torturing him probably created some paranoia. We know how much demons and the devil love to whisper in our ears and make us think it's our own voice. I can't imagine what Saul was hearing. And then Saul's tactics picked up to the point where David had to flee. But we see that that time when David was in the cave and Saul came in that cave to go potty, to take a pee, David had the opportunity to take out Saul right then and there. His crew was hyping him up, saying, do it, do it, do it, take him out. And what David do? He cut off just a little edge of his garment to show how close he got. And he still decided not to because he said, I'm not going to be taken out when God anointed him. He will be removed in God's appointed time. I know it's not my job to take him down. Just because you are presented with an opportunity doesn't mean that opportunity is from God. That was a mistake I made a lot before I came to Christ, is when I had an opportunity to do something, I would assume, well, God wouldn't allow me to have the opportunity if he didn't want me to take it. Where is that in the Bible? Nowhere. That's why we're supposed to test the spirit and be discerning. Just because you have the opportunity to seek revenge, just because you have the opportunity to say a mean word, just because you have the opportunity to do these things doesn't mean that's what you're being called to do. So it's so important to be discerning and to take it to God. But we see here that David recognized that he did not have to force the word from God. David had been anointed king and he knew in God's timing he would become king. Which also meant he would listen to God's nudges when God told him to go to a battle. When God told him to go to a place, he would obey. But he recognized the difference of obeying God and trying to do it himself. And he knew that killing Saul in that cave would be doing it himself. And in God's timing, because Saul refused to try to force it himself, Saul fell on his own sword. David's hands were clean, and he was appointed king. I want to be so clear with this, y'all. A prophetic word from God does not require you to force. You are not going to have to force it if it is from God. Now, you will have to obey the steps that he is calling you to take. But you're not going to have to do it on your own strength and force it. And this leads into the next step. This leads into the next topic, that prophetic words from God do come with opposition. A promise from God comes with opposition. Okay, so like I said before, you are not going to have to, on your own strength, on your own thoughts, your own understanding, try to create and force the promise to happen. But when you are truly walking in a promise from God and walking by faith, there's going to be some kind of opposition, okay? Some people have a misconception that if it's going to be from God, it's going to be easy, which isn't true. And we see that in the book of Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah has this call. There's this call to rebuild the temple, to rebuild for God. He gets the confirmation from God. He knows that this is what God is calling him to do. He even gets the permission from the king. He gets everything he needs. But when he starts actually moving by faith, and when the promise is actually starting to be built, is when the opposition comes in. Is when people are mocking and making fun of him. Is when people are slandering him. Is when people are trying to stop the building progress. Is when people are trying to take him out and take him down. And the spirit behind that is the devil, trying to stop God's will, trying to stop God's promise from coming into fruition, trying to get you to doubt God's word. A promise doesn't mean no opposition. If you're walking in a promise from God, you can actually expect there to be a decent amount of opposition. You can expect there to be, you know, the whispers in your ear from the enemy of the negative thoughts. You can expect your faith to be tested. You can expect people who are being used by the enemy to try to stop you and block you and delay you and do whatever they can to stop it from happening. But that is also the opportunity for you to lean on God and watch what he can do in his strength. His grace is sufficient. Again, prophetic words are not meant to be our own strength, our own understanding, our own control, our own whatever, which is why when we are met with opposition, we're able to go to God, and God has already planned accordingly for it. There are some people who think, well, it must not be from God because it's hard, or because there's opposition, or because there's this. And where is that said in the Bible? Where is it said that if you are obeying God and you follow Jesus, everything is going to be easy? Jesus actually says in scripture, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they tried to stop Jesus, if they tried to block him, if they lied and called him a false prophet, if they slandered him, of course they're going to do it to you. Because Jesus was literally perfect. He was literally beyond reproach. A student is not more beloved than their master, than their teacher. I want to share with y'all one more prophetic story that's now coming to mind, which is Jonah. I love Jonah. Is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And Jonah is sent to warn the people of Nineveh. And at first, he actually disobeys God. And in his disobedience, he gets swallowed up by a big fish. And when he repents and says, God, I should have listened to you. I submit to your will. The fish spits him out. And he gets told by God again, go to Nineveh and tell them that I plan on destroying them. Like, they have triggered my wrath. Jonah goes and he tells them, he's like, hey, X amount of days and y'all are going to be destroyed. Jonah's not even saying anything about repentance. He's not even saying, if y'all repent, God will spare you. He's just saying, hey, God has decided y'all are going to be taken out. And in that time period, the people of Nineveh hear that word. They receive it and they believe it. And what do? They repent. They put on sackcloth, like they tear their clothes. They have outward signs of repentance. God sees their repentance and spares them for a while. For a while, they're spared and they don't see destruction. Now, it's later on when the people of Nineveh go back to their wicked ways and they do eventually see the wrath of God. And I feel led to connect this with, God knows when your repentance is legit. He knows when your heart position has really changed or when you're stopping just because you don't want to face wrath. When you're truly repentant for something, when you truly recognize it's wrong and it's a sin and it's indefensible and your heart position changes, I'm not saying you'll never be tempted to go back to that, but you're not going to be able to defend going back to that. And it reminds me of how Jesus called out the Pharisees, who said, like, on the outside, you're holy. Like, he called them whitewashed tombs, with inside, you have all these dry bones, saying, on the outside, you present yourselves as the perfect. You do everything correct. You're beyond reproach. You're all these things. But inside, there's greed. And there's all these things that are unchristlike. And the people of Nineveh is a wonderful example of, like, in that moment, like, they were repentant. They felt guilt and they recognized what they did was wrong. And God gave them an opportunity. Okay, I'm pulling my wrath back and I'm going to see what y'all do with this. But eventually they go back to their ways. And in doing that is when they see the destruction from God. God gives us chances. And I want to loop that around to that. That's what prophets, people that God is speaking through, are used for a lot, is to warn. Right? And God's end goal with sending those is repentance. He wants us to repent and to turn from our ways. He wants to see us put our faith in Jesus Christ. Even in the book of Jeremiah, God was showing them wrath. But it was in hopes that they would repent, that they would see that they need God, and that they would have a fear of God developed. So if you're someone who's listening today that you've been receiving words, but you haven't allowed them to take root, what I'm encouraging you to do today is to take them back to God. pray and say, God, is this from you? Is this something that I need to hear? And I want you to look at, hold it up to Scripture. Does it align with Scripture? If it aligns with Scripture, if it goes with God's word, and you take it back to God, I also encourage you to pray this, that God allows you to be humbled, that he softens your heart. Because I remember praying this prayer so many times over, that God, I love you, and I don't want to be disobedient to you. And I want to look like Jesus in every way I can. So if there's a part of me that is rejecting you, is rejecting your word, strip that out of me. Break that down in me. And if you were refusing to pray that prayer, if you were refusing to say, God, I submit my entire self to you. If there's a part of you that is just refusing to pray that anything unChristlike is removed, that anything opposing God is removed, there's a pride that needs addressed there. Because we are to be completely submitted to God. These bodies aren't our own. These bodies were paid for by Christ. These bodies that we are living in are temporary, but are to be used to glorify God. The gifts that are given to us aren't to be used for ourselves, but to be used to glorify God. And if there's a part of you that is opposing or resentful to denying yourself and to submitting yourself to God, there is a pride there. There is some kind of ego. There is some kind of hardness, and it is dangerous to operate in that. Speaking from experience. God is a heavenly Father who loves you, and you need to trust that he will take care of you when you pray that prayer. Pray that your heart is softened. Pray that you're able to humbly receive his word. Pray that you have fresh conviction, okay? If you haven't felt conviction for some of the things you're doing that you know God's word say not to do, pray for a fresh conviction. Truly pray. And pray that you receive and take conviction in the way God desires you to. Pray that you have a fresh desire to read Scripture and to obey God. Pray that he removes the parts from you that are in opposition to him. Pray that he removes and replaces desires in your, removes desires from your heart that are not from him and replaces them with desires that are. Pray that you have more of a desire to serve him and more of a fear for him than you do man. Pray that someone needs to hear this today. Pray that God takes away from you your desire for revenge and a lick back. Pray that he helps you to forgive, and pray that he strips the anger out of you. I know there are a lot of people in this world, and I was one of them for a long time, that hold on, that don't want to pray that prayer because they're afraid that that means that the people who did them wrong will get off the hook or that justice won't be seen. God is the God of divine justice. Vengeance was never yours to hold on to in the first place. Vengeance is God's. And when you look at that's holding on to something that isn't your right to hold on to in the first place, that is meant to be given to God. And I ask you today, how do you expect God to bless disobedience? How do you expect to walk into a promise or expect all of these things from God when you wouldn't be stewarding over them in Christ-like ways? When your testimony wouldn't be, I sought the Lord, he heard, he answered. You know, I did my best to pursue Christ and to be in closeness, and I saw his glory through that. That's the testimony God builds. It's not the testimony of I was living in wickedness and I did all these things that went against Scripture and God blessed it anyway. That was a tough pill I had to swallow. When I was a new age and I was a tarot card reader, I was wondering why I wasn't being absolutely blessed because I felt like I was using my gifts and being a good person. And when I held it to Scripture, I was like, well, I'm using my gifts to glorify myself and bring in my own desires. I'm not pointing people closer to Christ. I'm actually leading people away or astray at that time period. I was like, so what I'm doing actually contradicts God's word. What I'm doing actually goes against God's word. I started realizing I was ignoring conviction, all these things. And I had that reality moment of, oh my gosh, how can I expect God to bless this? This isn't a testimony that glorifies him. This actually actively contradicts his word. In what world do I expect him to build this up? So this is a little bit more of a heavier message today, but there are people out there today who need to hear this, especially if you have been spending a large portion of your life living in deceit, living in illusion, living contently in your sin, living in disobedience. I did it for like 25 years. And when I felt the conviction, the weight was so heavy. But like the way that I'm speaking to y'all today, this was the way that the Lord spoke to me, in all honesty. I remember writing down in my journal, how can I expect God to bless my disobedience? How can I expect him to make a testimony out of divination and sin and idolatry? Someone needs to hear this today. How can you expect God to make a testimony built off of unforgiveness and anger and control and pursuing the flesh and witchcraft and slander and drunkenness, like how, whatever it is you're dealing with, where is your theology going a little sideways right now that you expect God to bless that? Where is your theology a little sideways right now where you're calling that goodness? And when you're calling it good enough, or when you're saying, well, God loves me more than this other person, or God shows me more grace than this person, or God knows my heart. He does know your heart, and he knows what you're refusing to release, and he knows where your loyalties really lie. He knows what you would do with that blessing if you got it right now. He knows that you would use it to hurt other people. He knows that you would use it to rub other people's nose in it. He knows that you would use it to shame, to slander. He knows that you would be used for the enemy. So he so lovingly has yet to give it to you because you haven't gotten straightened out yet. Speaking from experience, because that was me too, y'all. I'm glad God didn't bless me with some of the things then that he's blessed me with now, because I wouldn't have used those correctly. I may have received the building blocks for the promise, but it wouldn't have looked like the promise. I know this may feel a little harsh, the words I'm saying to you today, but these are the words that the Lord had to speak to me to get through to me, and I know that these are planting a seed for somebody today for God to move off of. And I pray that there's fresh conviction. I pray that there's fresh revelation. If you're one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you know that God is preparing you to be a mouthpiece. You know that God is preparing to use you to warn, to guide, to convict to these things. God speaking through you, not you doing it yourself. You know that God is preparing you. I gave some advice earlier that I want to reiterate again. You have to fear the Lord and have a desire to please him. And this is the next piece of advice I am going to give you. Have a biblical worldview. Meaning what you read in the Bible, what you read in scripture is 100% true. And that you base your morals and your values and your life decisions not off of what you want or what your flesh says, but off of what God says. And to really, really work on knowing his voice. His sheep hear his voice, they know his voice, they recognize his voice. And that comes through private alone time with the Lord. Be rooted in God's word, know what God's word says, have a sound theology. You cannot spend enough time with Jesus. And this is another piece of advice. You have to release the anger and the unforgiveness. You have to be in prayer with the Lord consistently of putting the pride and the ego aside, because you can't be easily offended. In the most loving way I can say that, you can't be easily triggered and easily offended. And those are hard seasons to go through, to get to, speaking from experience. But you can't be used by the Lord in that way and be holding on to anger and resentment and wanting to see people in pain and wanting to see people suffer and wanting you to be put on a pedestal and wanting you to be proven right. Because again, speaking from experience, the words that you deliver are going to end up being skewed. You're going to be speaking things from a place of anger and hatred, and you'll end up saying words that God didn't tell you to say. You'll end up speaking death in ways that God didn't call you to speak death. You'll end up skipping over the repentance and the redemption and going straight to condemnation. You'll skip over the mercy. You'll skip over the grace. You'll find yourself moving earlier than God told you to move. You'll find yourself doing things not because it's what God said and glorifying God, but because you feel like it glorifies you, because you feel like it elevates you, because it feels like it proves you. You cannot be holding on to those things. You gotta let them go. You gotta give them to God. I've said this so many times, giving justice, giving revenge to God doesn't mean someone is let off the hook. God is still going to deal with them justly. Giving it to God is literally letting go of something you were never meant to hold on to in the first place. And I pray that this episode has been freeing for you in some way, revealing for you in some way, convicting for you in some way. However, God intends to use this episode for you. And I know it's not going to make everybody happy to hear. I know the things I'm saying, not everybody is going to be pleased to hear. But I pray that God, however you feel hearing this, that God moves in your life through it. And I want to thank y'all so much for taking the time to listen to this episode today. And I pray that God meets you where you are, that you feel his love and whatever you're led to repent for, that you repent and that you receive a peace that surpasses all understanding from the love of Jesus Christ. And I pray for a restoration of your faith and fresh revelation to be poured out on your life. I want to thank y'all so much for listening to today's episode. And I do ask that you subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. And be ready to listen to the next episode whenever it drops. Have a wonderful day. God bless.